This is the best of the Albert Mohler Program. We won't be taking your phone calls today, but stay tuned for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. It is Tuesday, December 27, 2005, 2 days post-Christmas. Today we're going to be talking about The Church of Oprah Winfrey, and it's a very interesting show that we broadcast earlier this year, and during this time between Christmas and New Year's, we're really going back to some of the classic programs and discussions we've had in recent months and revisiting them. And Oprah Winfrey, after all, is one of the major culture shapers of this generation. And the reason we had this discussion is that there's a new book out on the gospel according to Oprah. And even if that title may surprise you, the more you watch Oprah Winfrey, the more you do recognize that she is selling something. And what she's selling is an entertainment package that includes some kind of religion. And as respectfully and kindly, but as honestly as I had to talk about this, it's just not biblical Christianity. And Oprah's actually pretty upfront about that. And in this program, we talk about the fact that she's really repackaging a lot of spiritual themes, but personal autonomy and personal choice and personal happiness are the very center of the gospel according to Oprah Winfrey. Now, there's much more to that. For instance, a sense of victimization. And this kind of therapeutic ethos that says what you need to do is name your pain and be honest and confess. And this has everything to do with the fact that Oprah's own life is so much out there in terms of everything from her struggle with weight, which she's turned into a major theme of her program, to some of the very strange things she picks up on. And earlier in the year, I talked about the fact that Oprah was really pushing a program about kids having sex change operations. And she was really coming down on parents who, of all things, believed that their children should not change their gender. And she was really putting it all on the parents as if they were simply backward and didn't love their kids. If they loved their kids, they would affirm them, including their desire to be a girl if they were now a boy, or a boy if they were now a girl. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I think most Americans simply aren't focusing on and aren't thinking about clearly. And in this book, The Gospel According to Oprah, the author makes the point that this is a new age, repackaged spirituality. It's a God in general, a generic deity. Oprah does not want to offend persons by being very explicit. I also mentioned on the program a comment from the pastor of the church where Oprah is a member, suggesting that she's basically abandoned Christianity for this kind of new age therapeutic gospel. Well, it was interesting because in the aftermath of that program, I got a lot of mail. Let me tell you, Oprah's got a lot of fans, and I didn't say anything mean-spirited, but listen, this is the place where we're going to have an intelligent and responsible and respectful conversation about the issues of the day, and I'm going to tell you things exactly as I see them. And as a Christian theologian looking at the phenomenon of Oprah Winfrey, I have to say, this just isn't Christianity. Well, just a few days before Christmas, I received an email with a link to Oprah's website, and this had to do with the appearance of country star Faith Hill on the Oprah program just before Christmas, and she sang the hymn, I Surrender All. And let me just read to you what is on the statement from Oprah Winfrey's website. It says this: when Oprah was auditioning for a role in Steven Spielberg's The Color Purple, she says she became obsessed with getting a part in the movie and went to a fat farm to try to lose 50 pounds. While running on the track one day, Oprah says she began singing I Surrender All to try to let go of her obsession. I prayed and I sang and I prayed and I sang and I cried, Oprah says. I literally surrendered it. End quote. Now, let me just say there, what is it? You know, as my English teacher used to say, it has an antecedent. What's the antecedent to it? We aren't told. I don't know what it is. But it becomes more and more clear that it is not her life, as in surrendered to Jesus in the sense of the Christian gospel. It's her struggle with weight. Because let me just pick back up on her statement. She says, moments later, a woman ran out onto the track and told Oprah she had a phone call from Steven Spielberg. He offered her the role of Sophia and told her not to lose any more weight. Quote, that moment of surrendering was a life-changing moment for me, Oprah says. I learned in that moment that you do all you can do, and when you've done everything that you know how to do, you surrender it to the power that's greater than yourself. End quote. Well, folks, that statement really just encapsulates almost perfectly what we've been talking about on the program and what you're going to hear in the classic rebroadcast in just a few moments. What we have here is something that sounds remarkably close to the language of Orthodox Christianity. But when you look at it, the language has now been reshaped and redirected so that it's not about the soul's surrender of attempts at self-righteousness before God and that surrender to Christ and to Christ's atoning work on the cross. It's rather a therapeutic surrendering of a struggle to a higher power. And when she says here at the end, I learned this, she says, I learned in that moment that you do all you can do, and when you've done everything that you know how to do, you surrender it to the power that's greater than yourself. Well, number one, it's not just a power that's greater than yourself. The very fact that she doesn't name this power as the one true and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's just this higher power. That's an alarm right there. But the very essence of the formula here is the problem. She says, I learned that you do the very best that you can, and when you've done the very best that you can, that you know how to do, you surrender it to the power that's greater than yourself. That's not the Christian gospel. Just let me be very clear about that. The gospel is not that you do the very best you can do, and then Jesus Christ comes in to do the rest. You simply surrender to the higher power, believing that he can finish what you started. The Christian gospel is about the fact that there's nothing we can do to even get it started. Jesus Christ does not add what is lacking to our good works. The Christian gospel tells us that we have no good works at all. Now, in this therapeutic age, that's considered hopelessly negative and repressive, but that's the gospel. I mean, that's it. And when we say, I surrender all, it's all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. It's a very specific song. It's not just to a higher power. And it's a surrender of all that one is and all that one hopes and all that one prays for and hopes for to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we'll be talking about Oprah in just a few minutes, and I think you'll find the conversation very interesting. She has an audience of tens of millions, and just through her magazine and all the rest, a vast media empire. You know, one of the things that makes Oprah's show interesting is that she understands, I think intuitively, I think this is a part of her genius as an entertainer and as an analyst of the culture in her own way. I think she understands just how bad things can be, and that in such a situation of brokenness and in pain and in desperation, people are looking for help. And that's something we can learn from observing Oprah. She understands where the problem is. And that is something I think Christians often simply do not develop as a skill. And, you know, we can talk all we want to, and we can be just as right and orthodox as we must be. But if we don't understand that people are struggling with real life problems to which the scripture provides the answer and the Christian gospel provides the rescue, then frankly, we're just like the Apostle Paul. We're just a clanging cymbal. The very essence of this is love. And the one thing we can learn from observing Oprah Winfrey is that we need to love people enough to understand what their problems are, and then with the full measure of the Christian gospel, apply that to their lives, tell them the truth, and point them not just to a higher power, but to Jesus Christ. Coast to Coast, you're listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
Is the best of the Albert Mohler Program.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is the theme music from The Oprah Show, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, the Oprahfication of America. There's a new book out by Marcia Z. Nelson entitled The Gospel According to Oprah. And this book, by the way, is published by a major denominational press, a major religious publisher. It's getting a lot of attention out there. And the point that Marcia Nelson makes is that there's a whole lot more to Oprah than entertainment or information. She talks about the entire worldview that Oprah Winfrey is presenting. And by the way, her book is very appreciative. But let's be real clear about what's going on here. For instance, when Oprah Winfrey now talks about spiritual issues, she doesn't talk about any particular God. She doesn't talk about any particular deity. She is, well, Marcia Nelson says, inspiring but secular. Listen to this. I'm quoting from Marcia Nelson's book. Quote, she translate what religions would term transcendent into something that is inspiring but secular. She would call it a vision of possibility. She has tried to develop her own unique language, which means talking about values in a secular and inclusive sense in a religiously pluralistic country, end quote. Now, Marcia Nelson, by the way, her book is entitled The Gospel According to Oprah. It's published by Westminster John Knox Press. In the book, Marcia Nelson suggests that the essence of Oprah is non-judgmentalism, the refusal to make a lot of moral judgments. Her show is about confession. People come on and speak of their desires, of their wrongdoing, of their relationships, all the rest. And, of course, Nelson makes very clear that Oprah has led the way in this herself. After all, she talks a great deal about her life and testimony she makes into a major theme of the show, and validation. Now, here's some statistics that you really need to keep in mind. The television audience in North America alone, just North America, for the Oprah show is over 10 million people. Now, that doesn't mean that 10 million households get it. Oh, no, that would be in the hundreds of millions. 10 million people are watching. Now, that is huge. Absolutely huge. She also has a magazine named for herself, and one of the features of this magazine is that Oprah is always on the cover. Guess what the magazine's about? It's Oprah. It's about Oprah's lifestyle. It's about Oprah's philosophy of life. It's about Oprah's, desire and recommendations for products and all the rest. Now, there's some interesting things about Oprah that a lot of people don't know. She was raised in a lot of poverty, born in Kosciusko, Mississippi. She at one point went to live with her father in Nashville. Her name is actually due to a misspelling. She was originally to be named Orpah after the less famous of the daughters-in-law of Naomi in the Book of Ruth. Ruth herself is the most famous of the daughters-in-law, but the other one was Orpah. But due to a misspelling, it came out Oprah, and the name stuck. And, of course, now that's one of the most famous names in America. When she was a teenager, Oprah's very upfront about the fact she was involved in all kinds of bad behavior. She at one point had a baby, gave birth to the baby, and the baby later died. She has lived with a man, which she publicly acknowledges for what I'm told now is over two decades, without marriage. And when it comes to a whole lot of issues, Oprah's just suggesting it's about, well, living your best life. That's one of her themes, living your best life. It's about forgiveness without atonement. And that's where I have to jump in as a theologian and say, it's one thing to talk about forgiveness, but, you know, forgiveness has to have a basis. And the gospel, according to Oprah, is about no God in particular, but a great spiritual force. It's about morality that is non-judgmental, except when it comes to issues like abuse, where she's very clear. And it's about forgiveness without atonement. Now, let me say right up front that you have to admire Oprah Winfrey's ability. You have to admire her communicative ability. You have to admire her entrepreneurial ability. No doubt about that. I would not deny for a moment that she has contributed to many worthy causes and has said many things with which I would even agree on her program. It's the total package that is the problem. It's the non-judgmentalism, the transcendence without any specific God. It's the New Age type spirituality, the forgiveness without atonement that is my big concern. And, of course, on this program, just a few months ago, we dealt with a specific episode of the Oprah show in which she dealt with children who were asking for and demanding sex change operations. We're talking about children as young as 9, 10, and 11. And she castigated the parents who did not want their children to change their gender. So when you talk about non-judgmentalism, well, that always has its limits, doesn't it? And with Oprah, it has to do with your own choices. Your choices are what are beyond moral scrutiny. And I just don't think that's compatible with the Christian worldview. I want to know what you think about it. We're talking about the Oprahification of America. We're talking about Marcia Nelson's new book, The Gospel According to Oprah. And the phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're going to go to Victorville, California, where Greg's on the line. Greg, welcome.
Hey, Dr. Muller, I love your show. I've actually had thoughts about Oprah's show for some time. You know, it seems to stand on a platform of tolerance, which I think actually ends up breeding a underlying sense of spiritual relativity in it. You know, it makes me wonder as Christians, you know, I mean, what stand should we actually take from a biblical point of view? I mean, of course, we're called to love everyone because, you know, we are all unrighteous. We all fall short of the glory of God. But at the same time, you know, we're called to call it like we see it as far as, you know, a sin is a sin. So, you know, with this idea of, well, you know, it's a design of God kind of mentality, and if it's okay for you, then it must be okay. I think that that's where the danger lies with somebody that's that exposed to the populace.
Yeah, I think you're really onto something there, Greg. I appreciate your call. Let me just come back and say this. You know, this non-judgmentalism is never what it first appears to be. You know, when I hear people use that kind of language, you know they don't really mean what they're saying. Not when you scratch below at least the surface. Let me read from Marcia Clark, Marcia Nelson's book here on The Gospel According to Oprah. She says, quote, Oprah is famously non-judgmental and empathetic. She says, quote, I try to live in the place of no judgment, or, quote, I'm not judging you, often enough to make it a touchstone of who she is. You know, this non-judgmentalism, let's think about it for a moment. Now, Greg says that we as Christians, well, we have to make judgments about behavior. And that's the big issue, isn't it? And this is one of the things that gets thrown at us. Judge not that ye not be judged. What in the world are we being told there in Scripture? Well, number one, it has to do with the heart. We as human beings are given no capacity to read the human heart. We can't do it. I love what Martin Luther, the great reformer, said about the human heart, in which he said the preacher can get the word of God to the ear, but only God, the Holy Spirit, can take the word, the good seed of the gospel, from the ear to the heart. Only the sovereign God, who is the maker of the heart, can know the human heart. But the Scripture does not say that we are not to judge behavior. To the contrary, I could take you to the vast majority of books in the Bible where you would find very clear instructions about how we are to judge behavior. That's nonsense to say we're not to judge behavior. And so when it comes to non-judgmentalism and tolerance, well, number one, we all know there are things we ought not to tolerate. Even the people who just keep talking about tolerance don't mean that. They don't want to tolerate murder. They don't want to tolerate kidnapping. They don't want to tolerate embezzling. They only want to tolerate, well, generally, things that have to do with sexual lifestyles and sexual behaviors. We need to call this what it is and think about it very carefully and in a way that understands the necessity of making the right judgments. We need to make certain that we're not just dismissing Oprah Winfrey casually and recklessly. We need to look at what she actually says, what she actually represents. And then we need to come with a Christian worldview and say, where does that fall short of what we as Christians are to believe? And certainly the very idea that you can have a generic deity. Well, we know we have a big problem there. This kind of New Age embrace of just finding the you and embracing the you, that's a big problem. And forgiveness without atonement, well, that's impossible. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Coast to coast, you're listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
Conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, when you talk about Oprah, you have opened an entire universe of different rabbits you could chase. She is a real symbol of American culture. Her show, by the way, is growing a great deal right now in the Middle East. Now, by the way, the vast majority of those who watch her program are women. And that seems to be true also in the Middle East, where a lot of women are discovering what they think American women are like by watching the Oprah Winfrey Show. By the way, I have been handed just in the last hour or so the Oprah Winfrey Show 20th Anniversary Collection, which is a collection of excerpts from the Oprah Winfrey Show for the last 20 years. And I have to tell you, my favorite part of this are the photographs. You have to see this. You have an entire history of Oprah's life in photographs. Oprah has more hairstyles and all kinds of things than you could ever imagine here. I went home for dinner last night, and my teenage daughter told me that she had been looking at pictures of me from about 13 years back, and she said, "You didn't look too good, Dad." As a matter of fact, we kind of agreed there was a geekiness quotient going back in there. How many of us want to go back and look at our high school pictures? How many of us want to go back and look at that? Oprah is about self-disclosure. She's about testimony. She is putting these pictures out in this box set so that you can go and buy it. You're not finding the pictures of me, folks, in high school. They're not going to be, I'm going to arrest anyone. I'm going to sue anyone that tries to bring those out. But Oprah, she puts it all out here because this kind of self-revelation is the very essence of her program. It's not only about the pictures, it's about her desires, it's about her product endorsements, it's about her experiences, and she has an incredible ability to draw this out of people. The question is, what's missing? And that's where I want to really keep the theological focus here. After all, we're talking about this book entitled The Gospel According to Oprah, What's Missing? And what's missing is the specificity of who God is. What's missing is atonement. And she offers forgiveness without atonement, and this non-judgmentalism, what's missing is a clear understanding of how we are to discern the very pressing and controversial issues of the day, even very personal issues. Let's go to Maddie, calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on WHKW. Maddie, it's your turn.
Hi, Albert. Thank you for taking my call. In reference to the Oprah Winfrey Show, I think that listening to her over the years, I think there's a danger of her comments and her own beliefs that she gives out to a host of people, and especially the women of America. And I think what's missing from her is that she probably, even though her success has probably not has taken away the realization that there is a God. And when you listen to her and she talks about how the oneness and her belief in not acknowledging the true and living God, I think there's a danger to our American culture today.
Well, I appreciate that point, Maddie, and that point has been made by others as well. You know, the question of what she believes really is a big question. It's a question being asked by the pastor of the church where she has been a member for many years, although she hasn't attended in years. The pastor is Jeremiah Wright, and this is Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. It's a very large church, 8,000 members, and the pastor of the church has not seen her in a long time. And in a column for Black Collegian magazine, he said, quote, "A lot of us do not even like the word faith anymore. We prefer the more chic-sounding word spirituality." He's talking about Oprah. He says, "We are caught up in an Oprah-generated mentality and a 12-step vocabulary that prevents us from using the very words and the very bridge that, quote, brought us over." He says this, "She's broken with the traditional faith. She now has this sort of God is everywhere. God is in me. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be a part of a body of believers. I can meditate. I can do positive thinking, spirituality. It's a strange gospel. It has nothing to do with the church Jesus Christ founded." Well, God bless that pastor. I mean, he packed a whole lot of theological insight into that package of words there. And it says a whole lot coming from the pastor of the church where she holds membership. Well, that's about the church. The book is The Gospel According to Oprah. And there's a whole lot there. Let's go to Tom calling from Madisonville, Kentucky, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Tom, it's your turn.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Mohler. I'd like to challenge Christians to be discerning in viewing Oprah's program. Enjoy the entertainment, that's fine, but be aware of programs where Oprah promotes the worldview instead of the Christian worldview. And let me give you a quick example. A couple years ago, I saw a program where she had several people that gave dramatic, powerful testimonies about how they had forgiven people that had done horrible things to them. And the whole theme of the program was self-fulfillment, making yourself whole instead of being dragged down by that other person. But there was never any mention made of being obedient to the scriptures. And we need to be discerning and understand that this is not biblical.
You know, Tom, that was a great statement, and I appreciate the fact that you made a reference to a specific episode of the Oprah program, the Oprah Show, because I think what you're talking about there is a need for discernment is what we really need to put on the front burner. And it's not just about Oprah, is it? I mean, we need to make that a principle for our engagement with all entertainment media, all music, with Hollywood, and with everything that's on television. But you're absolutely right. With Oprah, some of this is very, very subtle. The phone number, 877-893-8255. We'll be right back.
This is the best of the Albert Mohler program.
Some of the financial magazines estimate that Oprah's net worth is now over $1 billion, making her perhaps the richest woman in the world, even richer than the Queen of England. Well, you know, you have to take your hat off to her financial ability, her entrepreneurial skill, But what's the worldview driving this? You know, what's really behind Oprah's, well, let's just use the word Marsha Nelson does, her gospel. I'm going to suggest it's about a rather New Age embrace of a spirituality rather than the truth claims of Christianity. It's an avoidance of speaking about Jesus Christ in particular and the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian God of the Bible. It's an effort rather to say, look, all you need is your God. But after all, she says you need to live your best life. And, you know, what's missing there is the horizon of our accountability as the creature to the Creator. And I really think we need to focus on what she says about forgiveness, because she makes forgiveness such a big deal. And, you know, the question is, how can you have forgiveness without atonement? Because it's one thing for human beings to forgive each other, but that can be a very superficial thing. In the end, what really matters is that we are forgiven our sins by the holy God who is our creator and judge. And the only way to be forgiven our sins by God is to come to him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have forgiveness without atonement, and the atonement is a cross, where Jesus Christ died as our substitute. Now, I recognize that that may divide. That is a controversial assertion that might reduce her audience. But are we really learning here that the only way to have a mass audience is to have some kind of generalized spirituality with theological relativism? I think that may be one of the lessons we're learning here. In the pan-Uber culture of America, maybe all there is room for is this kind of cultural deity, civil religion, non-judgmentalism. Bill's calling from Roanoke, Virginia, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Bill, what do you think?
Well, I think it's bad with Oprah that she has been baptized in a very conservative sect of Christianity at some point in her lifetime, and that she's gone the other direction with this. It makes me think of a verse in the Bible that says, seven women will take hold of one man, saying, let us eat our own food and wear our own apparel, or let us be called by our name that we might remove our reproach. And this idea of her universalism forgiveness is that kind of concept. And atonement is to be at one with God. So forgiveness is empowerment to be restored to the character of our Creator.
Yeah, Bill, you have excellent points. I wish you had the same signal. And we appreciate you calling. Appreciate you hanging on there, listening on XM. But you make a very, very important point. I appreciate the scripture you cited and especially the point that you made there. And for those who may not have been able to catch what Bill was saying, he was making a very clear case that you can't have forgiveness without redemption, and that the whole point of atonement is to be made at one with God. And that's absolutely true. And that's what's missing here. The horizon of God is missing. There's no transcendent horizon. Marsha Nelson, the religion writer who's written this book, The Gospel According to Oprah, says this: Oprah's New Age talk about spirit was part of her ongoing, ever-evolving attempt to find the right words for the teachings she learned through religion. Now, by the way, the first, when you ever see just religion put out like that, all of your defense mechanisms should come up. All the white blood cells in your theological veins and arteries should be racing to go after this. Back to the book, Marsha Nelson says, quote, her spiritually inclusive language is also intended to be unique, the language she alone speaks that makes her inspiring and distinctly herself. Now listen to this. For marketing reasons, as well as for her own sense of mission, she is putting her own stamp on the language, on the words she uses. Marsha Nelson's very clear. She doesn't want to use specifically Christian language because that would reduce her audience. Jared's calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Jared, what do you make of all this?
You know, I think it'd be good as far as an overall concept of who Oprah is. I've always been intrigued by her influence and her endorsements as far as her taking a single book that no one's ever looked at or read and being able to put it in a New York bestsellers list overnight. I've been intrigued by the way that she is able to do that and influence people. I think as far as historically her show, I think there's a difference between a woman like Oprah and someone who enters the public sphere with people that have full knowledge of what they believe and what they claim. And then as a response to that, they reject it or they disagree with it. Oprah, I think, is a product of entering into a business or entrepreneurial society and being shaped by that society and having to form herself in front of it so as to build a market for herself. I think that it might be important to look at roots of where she came from to see that she's a product of a relativistic society, and that might just be a key in seeing where she's at now.
Yeah, good point, Jared. And by the way, you know, this is a woman that grew up in deep poverty. And she's not in poverty anymore. She may be the world's wealthiest woman right now. But one of the points that this book makes is that she believes in abundance, material abundance, about living the best life. That means having a lot of good things. She recommends very expensive products, and she surrounds herself with very expensive things she endorses. There is a clear financial angle to all of this, Andy. And, you know, Jared, I do think that this is a good reminder that Oprah not only is producing a society, she's the product of a culture. And that's a very good point. We do want to go to Andy, calling from Oglethorpe, Georgia, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Andy, it's your turn.
Thanks, Brother Albert, for taking my call. I just would like to point with the previous caller that Oprah's definitely a product of the world that she's making money off of, and that she's preaching an easy believism, postmodern New Age gospel. And I would just point out she lacks the intellectual integrity to pick a position that it should be easy for Christians today to see right through that. And all of these people that are looking for something to believe in, somebody to do the same much better.
Yeah, Andy, I'm afraid we're losing you there, but we didn't lose your point. And the point you made is very, very important, and that is that this easy believism and inclusivity really does lack integrity. Now, you know, that's an important word, isn't it? Because, you know, if we're going to talk about integrity, we have to understand that there are some people who would define integrity only in terms of you being who you really want to be. In other words, it is merely an internal point of reference. But from a Christian perspective, we have to understand that integrity has to do, well, as Moses made very clear, with doing what God commanded and obeying what God orders and hearing God's voice and obeying it. Integrity is aligning ourselves with God's truth, and most especially with God's gospel. You know, we have raised a host of important issues here. In just a moment, I'll be back with some final thoughts. But this is another one of those issues that really requires us to think carefully, because the meaning of Oprah, well, it goes far beyond a television program and a magazine. It goes right to the heart of who we are as a culture. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
This is the best of the Albert Mueller Program.
This has been a topic worth talking about, and I really appreciate the good thinking represented in the callers who joined the program today. If you didn't get online, if you didn't get on the air, just know we'll be talking about this again. Thanks for listening. Remember to call us or write us at albertmueller.com. That's MOHLER.com, and there's a place right there on the webpage where you can write us. And, of course, you also may go to Tuesday of this week in terms of the commentaries, and there you will find a major article I have written on Oprah and her meaning in terms of the culture. You know, Marcia Nelson has written a book. Well, I don't agree with much in it at all, but I'll tell you, it's pretty revealing, because what Marcia Nelson celebrates, I see, is a real problem. Let me read you one section here. It's from page 67 in the book, for those of you who may be interested enough to go find it. She says this: "The language on this show, for the most part, is religiously neutral. Chip and Jody Furlack," those are two guests, "told a magazine that they had been asked by producers to avoid specifically Christian language in relating their story so that its message of forgiveness would be apparent to people of different faiths. The most explicitly religious exchange on this show, this one episode, happened between Oprah and Sharmeta Lovely when Oprah closes Lovely's story with the enthusiastic request, 'Preach, girl, preach to me, amen.'" Now listen to what Marcia Nelson says. "God is implied, sometimes explicitly mentioned, in these life testimonies, but the life lesson, forgiveness in action, rather than its divine teacher or exemplar, is the focus. The lack of religious specificity," she says, "gives the lesson broad relevance. It might even fit those who don't believe in God," end quote. Well, perfect. If your spirituality can embrace those who don't even believe in God, you are in big, big trouble. This effort to come up with a lowest common denominator spirituality produces a spirituality that's not even theistic. It doesn't even require one to believe in God. You can believe in the power within you. You can believe in your own, well, as Ludwig Feuerbach said, your own Wunschwesen, and your own wish being. You can just, you can believe in whatever deity you want. You don't, according to the Gospel of Oprah, have to come to terms with the one true and living God, with the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God who made us and the God who will judge us, and you don't have to come to him through Jesus Christ. That is the opposite. That is the exact opposite of the Christian gospel. And this raises the whole point. When we hear someone talk about God, we have to know what God, which God. When we hear people talk about spirituality, we have to say, well, look beyond the spirituality. Who is the Spirit? Folks, we have to be discerning. We have to be alert. We have to be engaged. We need to talk to our neighbors. Folks, there are a lot of people out there. 10 million people are watching her program. Let's talk to them about what really matters. And join me tomorrow for a conversation about what really matters. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.